Everett Cicero reminds one of the remarkable career of Senator Robert Byrd, who first took the oath of office on January 7, 1959. While his state has profited from his powerful position in Washington, a great many public buildings in West Virginia are named Byrd, he also tirelessly tried to educate his colleagues about the concept of a republic and why, when working properly, it is a bulwark of democracy. In contrast, author Michael Parenti denigrates Cicero and other constitutionalists. Parenti portrays Caesar as a cross between Juan Perón and Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a ruthless populist. In his book, The Assassination of Julius Caesar, A People's History of Ancient Rome, Parenti stresses the class warfare that dominated much of Roman life. His hero is Caesar, a man who came from a well-established family but nonetheless devoted himself to the common man and was murdered in the Senate by a conspiracy of blue bloods. Caesar seems not to have comprehended that in the conflict between haves and have-nots, the haves are really have-it-alls, writes Parenti. The Roman aristocrats lambasted the palest reforms as the worst kind of thievery, the beginning of a calamitous revolutionary leveling necessitating extreme countermeasures, and they presented their violent retaliation not as an ugly class expediency, but as an honorable act on behalf of republican liberty. Parenti is repelled by what Cicero later wrote to Brutus, the leader of Caesar's killers on the Ides of March 44 BC. "That memorable, almost godlike deed of yours is proof against all criticisms. Indeed, it can never be adequately praised." Parenti's book is not just a paean to Caesar, but also a polemic against establishmentarian history. "In the one-sided record that is called history," he contends, "it has been a long-standing practice to damn popular agitation as the work of riffraff and demagogues." He is scandalized that in Gibbon, for example, there is not a word about an empire built upon sacked towns, shattered armies, slaughtered villagers, raped women, enslaved prisoners, plundered lands, burned crops, and mercilessly overtaxed populations. Parenti accepts that democracy, a wonderful invention by the people of history to defend themselves from the power of the wealthy, took tenuous root in ancient Rome, but he warns that when their class interests were at stake, the senators had no trouble choosing political dictatorship over the most anemic traces of popular rule and egalitarian economic reform. Tom Holland, a leading BBC radio personality who has written highly acclaimed adaptations of Herodotus's Histories and Virgil's Aeneid, has produced Rubicon, The Last Years of the Roman Republic. Though he comments that the comparison of Rome to the modern-day United States has become something of a cliché, he draws a picture of the late Republic that seems a model of the modern United States, with its flamboyant excesses of wealth, bad taste, and arrogance, as well as its impulse toward militarism. His Social History of Republican Decadence, highlighting a puerile Roman vision of politics and war, sounds very much like the second Bush administration and the shop-until-you-drop world of American consumerism.